Getting down to Brisbane from LA in a decked out Falcon 7X as paying passengers was pretty badass, I'm not gonna lie. I've done a lot of cool things in the field of aviation, but this one was special. Of course, another crazy thing this trip had going for it was that there were 11 of us.
The crew of 10 pilots and an engineer call themselves Ocean's 11.
The mission itself required us to fly five Boeing 737-800s at the same time across the Pacific into the deserts of Arizona. Why at the same time? Well, because this was September of 2020 and the pandemic was raging, Australia was locked down, few airliners were flying, and we couldn't remain in Brisbane long enough to offset our departures and get everybody a reasonable amount of rest. There was one way to execute this mission, and this was it.
Well, here we are in Brisbane, walking down the line here, as you can see, picking up all five of these Virgin Australia airplanes. And first one's back there, I got the last aircraft coming out. So the engineer's gonna go out on the first airplane and then wait for us in Honiara there in Guadalcanal. In case we have any airplanes having any maintenance issues as we come through, he'll be there to correct any problems and work through any issues as we go. So it's a pretty well coordinated operation. It's been in the works for several weeks now. Travel, logistics, the quarantine, the pandemic, flight planning, maintenance, records, everything. It's been a very, very complicated project, but we're underway here.
We're gonna walk up and I'm gonna give these guys a quick departure briefing based on what the procedures are gonna be out of here. They're a little non-standard based on the part.
All right, this is 258. They're getting ready to go. They're gonna be the first ones out. All right, guys, this is 269.
Yeah.
Aircraft number two, you got Aiden. You got Captain Aaron here, and other aircraft is just taxiing out down there. About 15 to 20 minutes from now, they're gonna start engines and follow suit, and then next step, Haniara.
Yeah, see you in Honolulu.
As you probably figured, a 737 needs to make some fuel stops crossing the Pacific Ocean. We would do this first in Haniara on the island of Guadalcanal on the Solomon Islands. After a quick turn there, we'd fly about 7 hours to Honolulu and then finally head into rest. Island hopping a 737 is actually fun, and it's pretty straightforward with one jet. Since we were five, we had some unique challenges. For one, most small island airports aren't big enough to handle and park more than one or two airliners at a time. Even if there is room to park, there's definitely not enough ramp staff to tend to all the airplanes during the turn. Finally, we have to coordinate our IFR arrival and departure clearances, which involves coordinating with ATC via San Francisco, and that gets tricky when there are multiple aircraft all in a line heading for the same speck of earth.
What are we doing?
All right, this is Jet Test 272. There's Captain Paulo and Captain Andy, who's messing with his bag. And they're gonna be the third guys off. They're gonna leave about 45 minutes after aircraft two with Captain Aaron. They'll be waiting in Haniara for aircraft number four, and then they'll depart for Honolulu from there. Got anything to say for yourself, Paulo?
No, I'm having a great day, great time.
Awesome.
Everything's great except for the people I'm working with.
All right, here goes aircraft number four here. Captain Rye.
Fourth in line. One ahead of you.
Yeah.
You're the boss.
Well, you know, I gotta take up the rear, man.
Yeah, you gotta keep
in the rear with the gear. Are you the one pre-flighting with all your lights on? Because
we checked your lights.
Ed Fanning said that you guys were real professionals.
Real professionals. All the hydraulics went down. Left went down. Speed racing. When I went out to the grass, just to check that wingtip was over there in the grass, I came back and let me tell you, two Aussie guys came over and said, I wouldn't have done that. However they say it in their Aussie accent. I'm like, why? And it's snakes. Bringing up the rear and Jet Test 270, there's a Captain John.
Save the best for last.
We're just waiting at this point for the next two airplanes to take off. We've got two airborne right now, and the next one is going to start engines probably 15 minutes after that one takes off.
About an hour and 15 minutes after the first aircraft departed, John and I closed the door, ran a few checklists, and started taxiing out for departure. It was a long roundabout taxi, and the airport was really quiet apart from us and a few domestic flights. Remember, this was pretty much peak COVID times around the world. By the time we left the blocks with the last airplane, we'd been in Australia just short of 2 hours total. The string of five airplanes was now in motion, northeast bound, on probably the most memorable operation of my career. After passing 10,000 feet on the climb out, I tuned up VHF-1 to the air-to-air frequency and started the roll call. I was able to raise Ryan and Phil, who were only about 90 miles ahead of us, and Paulo and Andy, who were about 100 miles ahead of them. Paulo was able to raise Ava and Aiden, as well as Gloyd, Drew, and Magnus, who were about 1 hour south of Haniara at that point. I pulled out the iPad and plotted our positions the best I could. It looked okay, but Paulo and Andy were a little close to Ava and Aiden, so we had them slow down to Mach decimal 7.4, and then the rest of us adjusted as well. After roughly an hour of flying, we heard aircraft 1 over HF report landing assured, and thanks to the correction, that left about 25 minutes of space for Ava and Aiden. Perfect. Before we left Brisbane, I handed off one of my GoPros to Magnus, the engineer. He would deplane in Haniara from the first airplane and then see the rest of us off one by one, ensuring that we had support for any snags. I also asked if he'd get some footage of the operation from the ground as the remaining four airplanes popped in for the quick turn. The Haniara International Airport is tiny by international airport standards, but I've got to hand it to the ground crew. They really made it look easy. I'm not sure that they've ever seen so much action in such a short period of time. One by one, we arrived, topped up, and turned out like a finely tuned machine. As I mentioned, Haniara was the biggest challenge of the journey, and although we were prepared for the worst, the turn went smooth as silk for all of us. The sun was almost completely down by the time John and I descended over the rugged, hilly terrain south of the airport. Interesting note, formerly Henderson Field, this airport is the very same piece of ground that the U.S. Marines fought and died for back in 1943. As a former Marine myself, just being here brings a lot of emotions, and honestly, you can almost feel the presence of the thousands of heroes that lost their lives here. I get chills every time.
All right, we're on the ground in Haniara here in the Solomon Islands, and we're just taking fuel right now. We've got three airplanes airborne for Honolulu right now, and the fourth aircraft just took fuel. He's waiting for us to at least get hooked up to the fueler, and then he's gonna head out, and then we're the last ones. Everything's going super smooth. We've got we're a little behind schedule because we left late, but really it's going absolutely perfect. Beautiful night here. It's actually dark, so we're fueling up here. Typical in some of these places, they have us control the fuel. Fuel truck's over there pumping right now. As you can see, I'm just minding the gauges here, making sure to turn off the valves as they fill up. They automatically cut off, but to prevent a fuel spill, we shut it off when we hit the number. Tanks are in kilograms, so we're going to end up filling it up all the way, about 20,000 roughly kilograms of fuel. So we've got about 4,000 more kilograms to go in the center tank here. We get up to about 12 or so.
The departure out of Haniara takes us over the Iron Bottom Sound, famously the final resting place of 67 combined Allied and Japanese ships and tens of thousands of souls. During the day, the sound is beautifully scenic with the heavily forested Florida islands with coral beaches to the north, For us, though, it was pitch black, and it remained the case for the entire 7.5 hours. For those on the ground, the daisy chain of 737s over the Pacific surely made some do a double take on Flight Radar 24. Airplane 1 landed in Honolulu around 4 a.m. local, and the sun was just starting to rise by the time John and I pulled in. Again, with COVID happening, the airport was pretty quiet, which really highlighted the fact that the place was just invaded by 5 Virgin Australia 737s. They parked the aircraft in 3 different locations, 2 on the Castle and Cook ramp, 1 on the South Transient pad, and 2 along the North Side cargo ramp. We were more than ready to sleep the day away at the hotel in Waikiki, and we did so, only to report back to the airplanes for departure around 1 a.m. that night.
About 12:30 a.m., and we had a day of rest, and we're hopping on one last leg to Phoenix Goodyear from here.
All right, transponder.
It's code set.
Airspeed.
Bugs are set at 32, 33, 42.
Damage, I said. How do you take
off runway? We plan on 8 left and heading a 155 on departure.
Initial altitude?
5,000.
5,000, yaw damper.
On.
Window heat?
On.
Landing altitude?
1,000.
Flight altitude?
5,600.
Will be 400. Oh, 410. Okay, so.
Flight
directors. On.
No
name. It was at
36
set left. It's
popping now, by the way. Auto brakes.
Auto brakes are on.
Doors. Closed.
Hey guys, how you doing? Okay, great. We are, you're clear behind?
Yep, I'm.
Okay, the brakes are released from the bush.
Yeah,
that does do so. Help us carry
it if you want. We can grab the runway 8 right quick. Yeah, we do
have a problem. We'll take it in the left.
Two hours into the flight, the sun came up once again and provided the energy boost we needed to reach the finish line. Just like the rest of the trip, John and I were in the back of the lineup and Magnus was with us on the final leg into Goodyear. Our spacing was a bit closer on the go-home leg because we all wanted to maximize the time in rest. We crossed the California coastline about 5 hours after departure and started down about 15 minutes after that. We got word that most of the team was already heading for Sky Harbor to catch their respective flights home. Once John and I got on the ground, I finally got to look at all 5 jets sitting together once again on the ramp in Goodyear. At the time, I had no idea what was next for these 5 airplanes, and 2 weeks later, we were heading to Melbourne again to grab another 2. It wasn't until a few months later that we got word that all 7 planes were going back to Australia, which was great news for everybody. The tale of 7 Virgins didn't end here. After maintenance, paint, and some passage of time, all 7 aircraft would be heading back westbound for redelivery to Virgin. I'm pretty sure we'll all remember this one for a long time. Like the return trips that followed, this project was enjoyable to fly. Be sure to tune in next time to watch how we manage the returns. We never did get back to Haniara with these airplanes, but Majuro was quite the sight to behold. See you then.